This is Ed Mazur, chairman of the City Club of Chicago. Our speaker today was Department of Transportation Commissioner for the City of Chicago, Rebecca Sheinfeld. She has a staff of 1,300 and a budget of $750 million. And she talked mostly about infrastructure and moving the city forward. Chicago, as we know, is the transportation hub of the United States. Very important from a water perspective, airplanes, O'Hare, Midway, and railroads. Since 2011, the commissioner said, the city has created 60,000 jobs in transportation, streets, bridges, repaving, and in lighting. Over the last 8 years, half of the city's streets have been repaved, and a major citywide lighting improvement project that will take 4 years is shortly to begin. 270,000 of the existing streetlights will be replaced with an LED conversion. The commissioner also talked about various projects such as the Riverwalk, the Union Station Transit Center, new bridges along Lakeshore Drive, including the 35th Street Pedestrian Bridge, which happens to be the longest pedestrian bridge in Chicago, the upcoming 41st Street Bridge, and the 43rd Street Bridge. By 2017, she foresees the completion of the Wabash Washington Elevated Station, and in fact, Wabash Avenue will be open to traffic beginning later this week between Washington and Madison Streets. In fact, the Department of Transportation has completed 38 streetscape projects within the last 2 years. One of the problems is funding from the city, from the state, and the federal government. Many of the projects that they would like to undertake may be at risk because the state has not had a capital budget, no capital bill, and we're not sure what's going to happen in Washington. Projects take time because they have to be planned, funded, and then construction. The city will also be undertaking a new program entitled Vision Zero Chicago. 12 city departments and agencies will be producing plans to reduce injuries on the streets of the city of Chicago. Commissioner Sheinfeld pointed out that 5 people are seriously injured in crashes each day in Chicago, and the city wants to make walking, riding, biking on the water as safe as can be for everybody.
It's great to be back here. This is my 3rd year in a row, giving kind of the State of the Union on CDOT, and it's always a pleasure. I was here a couple weeks ago on a panel about our Great Chicago Rivers project that was hosted by Mary Sue Barrett, and it's wonderful, again, to be back here so soon. I'm really honored to be here representing Mayor Emanuel and the great team at CDOT, because to accomplish our mission, we really depend on the close working relationships we have within CDOT and all the professional members of CDOT, but also working with other city departments, professional services and construction services firms, and civic organizations and advocates, many of whom are in the audience today. So I'd like to ask members of the CDOT team that are here today to please rise. Let's give them a hand. And, of course, I couldn't do the work I do without the partnership of my colleagues in the mayor's cabinet, many of whom are here today. So thank you very much. All of us at CDOT are extremely proud to play a role in Mayor Rahm Emanuel's Building a New Chicago program. As the mayor said in a speech last month at the Laborers Hall, infrastructure isn't just about moving people around the city. It's about moving our city forward, connecting the people of our city to each other and to opportunity, giving everyone a chance to be part of building a new Chicago. Our historical infrastructure investments made Chicago the transportation hub for the nation. To retain this status and the economic development that goes with it, we have to keep planning, we have to keep investing, and we have to keep building. Since 2011, under the mayor's leadership, we have created over 60,000 jobs building and rebuilding our roads, bridges, streetscapes, the transit system, airports, water and sewer mains, schools, parks, and playgrounds. And when we are creating these jobs, it is the mayor's priority and CDOT's that we are creating jobs for Chicagoans with a workforce that truly reflects our residents. We are stepping up our approach to minority participation programs, including both construction and professional services firms. We are looking beyond the traditional MBE, WBE, DBE goals numbers to find ways to really drive the intent of these programs to level the playing field. We are working to create an environment in which the participation opportunities are expected to be in project leadership and equity positions. This will be a change for the better in the way that our industry functions. We also understand that the path to opportunities starts with the education system, and Mayor Emanuel is fighting hard to improve Chicago Public Schools and our community colleges and working with our labor partners to prepare our young people for the jobs of today and the opportunities of tomorrow in the 21st century. Just as we are creating jobs, our goal is to improve the quality of life for everyone who lives in Chicago. CDOT services and projects are making a difference in every neighborhood across the city, whether it's repairing potholes and streetlights or completing transformative projects like the 606. Along with our partners at the Department of Water Management and private utilities, we have repaved more than 1,600 miles of streets and alleys in the city since 2011. And at this pace, over the next 2 years, we will have repaved more than 2,000 miles. That's about half the city's streets in just 8 years. And I'm very excited to be working on a major investment in our street lighting. The Chicago Smart Lighting Project will enhance public safety and quality of life for Chicagoans by providing better quality, more reliable lighting throughout Chicago. Working with the Chicago Infrastructure Trust, I am pleased to say that we are getting close to finishing a complex procurement, and we will soon be submitting a contract to the City Council to start this project. The Citywide Lighting Initiative will replace approximately 270,000 outdated high-pressure sodium light fixtures with modern, energy-efficient LED light fixtures over the next 4 years, cutting the city's electricity bill for lighting in half. The Chicago Smart Lighting Project will be one of the largest LED conversions in the country and also will create one of the largest lighting control networks. This means that we will have real-time information about the status of our lights and will also allow us to control our outdoor lighting remotely. This will allow us to respond much more quickly to any outages. This project will really change nighttime visibility across the city. Looking back over the last year, we have completed a number of major infrastructure projects that are making Chicago a better place to live, work, and play. Last fall, we celebrated completion of the acclaimed Chicago Riverwalk, which has been widely recognized as a signature achievement of Mayor Emanuel. It was Daniel Burnham who first conceived of a riverfront promenade in his plan for Chicago, and it has taken until 2016 to fulfill his vision, but we've done it. The mayor worked with then-Secretary of Transportation Ray LaHood to secure an innovative federal TIFIA loan to bring this project to fruition. The Riverwalk is a great example of what can happen when there is a strong partnership between local and federal government. The first three sections opened in 2015, the Marina, the Cove, and the River Theater. And over the last two summers, they have all proved to be extremely popular destinations. The three newest sections, the Water Plaza, the Jetty, and the Riverbank, opened up in the season last year. And as the weather warms up and the season begins, we're really excited for children of all ages to be able to cool off in the zero-depth fountain at the Water Plaza. The Jetty, with its floating gardens and fishing piers, offers habitats for aquatic life and will give Chicago's children an outdoor classroom to learn about fish, fauna, and other river life. The Riverbank at the western end by Lake Street is the longest segment, and it features a sun-splashed lawn with the potential for future development in this eye-catching space at the confluence. And look out, because the city's Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events has a whole slate of exciting performances and celebrations planned for the Riverwalk this summer. So please join us to experience this remarkable civic space, and the season will be kicking off in May. Also opened last year was the beautiful new Union Station Transit Center. This off-street CTA bus boarding center just south of Union Station is helping to relieve traffic congestion by providing improved intermodal connections to the train station that serves 120,000 people a day. The transit center has sheltered boarding areas for CTA buses and a vertical connection with an elevator to the existing pedway into Union Station, allowing commuters weather-protected access to Amtrak and Metra trains. Moving to the south side, there's a stunning new addition to the South Lakefront, the 35th Street Pedestrian and Bicycle Bridge. Last fall, CDOT completed work on the first of five bridge projects that will improve connections between Bronzeville and the lakefront. At 35th Street, we removed the old, deteriorated, inaccessible pedestrian bridge over Lakeshore Drive and replaced it with this modern S-shaped suspension bridge, the longest pedestrian suspension bridge in the city. The new bridge is fully ADA compliant and provides easy access to the lakefront for all ages and abilities, pedestrians, bicyclists, people in wheelchairs, or pushing strollers. It's a beautiful work of art and engineering, and I strongly urge you to go visit it on foot if you haven't already. It's beautiful to drive under, but it's also a sight to see walking over it. And there's more to come. This year, we will start construction on the new pedestrian bridge at 41st Street, creating an additional crossing with another sweeping and bold architectural design. And by this time next year, we expect to have begun construction on a third new pedestrian bridge at 43rd Street. We also plan this year to begin reconstruction of the road bridge over the railroad tracks at Oakwood, and next year to begin work on the road bridge at 31st Street as well. Another bridge project completed recently in February is the rehabilitation of one of our iconic bascule bridges, the Adams Street Bridge over the river. This was actually two projects in one. We completely refurbished the machinery, the bridge decking, and the bridge tenders' houses for the bascule bridge. And we also rebuilt the viaduct structure between the river and Canal Street that extends over the Union Station railroad tracks and supports the roadway above. This is a great example of the complexity of our urban transportation infrastructure here in Chicago. These structures provide a critical link to improve the safety and mobility of pedestrians, motorists, Amtrak and Metra trains, and boaters. And it's a reminder of how investments in our city's infrastructure often also benefit the larger region. On the far north side last year, we completed a project that demonstrates a creative approach to urban planning and design, the city's first shared street on Argyle between Broadway and Sheridan. In a shared street, pedestrians are given priority, but the right-of-way is shared by all, pedestrians, bicyclists, and people in cars. The project's community-driven design process resulted in a people-oriented, flexible space that serves as a unique destination, building on Argyle Street's existing weekly use for night markets and Chinese New Year celebrations. And one of our biggest design and implementation challenges has been fulfilling the mayor's commitment to improving bicycling in the city. We were very proud to be recognized last year by Bicycling Magazine as the number one city for biking in America. Under the mayor's leadership, it's been one of CDOT's major priorities to invest in better bike infrastructure, making it safer and more comfortable to ride a bike in Chicago, no matter your age or ability. Since the mayor took office, Chicago has added more than 108 miles of protected bike lanes, giving us a total network of 292 miles citywide. These investments have paid off, as the number of people riding their bikes to work in Chicago is at an all-time high, and it's the fastest growing mode of transportation as well. A major factor in the success of biking in Chicago is Divvy, our bike share program. In just 3 years, Divvy has grown to become the largest bike share system by geography in all of North America. Early this year, we recorded our 10 millionth ride on Divvy, and we are now working on our next 10 million rides. In 2017 and beyond, we expect to build on our success with biking in Chicago, with the aim of growing and strengthening the network to improve safety for both people riding bikes as well as all users of our roadways. Looking ahead in 2017, we're very excited to see some major projects coming to completion. On the east side of the loop, we will be opening the new elevated station at Washington Wabash for the CTA. I'm very pleased to be working on this project with my colleague Dorval. This is really exciting and it's going to be a game changer for the east side of the loop. It replaces two century-old stations at Madison and Randolph with a single, modern, fully accessible station with wider platforms, a striking architectural design, and a major art installation, all of which will provide a new gateway to Millennium Park and all of the destinations on the east side of the loop. You can see the station starting to take shape now. On the lower left corner, there's a good example of the canopy going into place at the platform level. We are pleased to confirm that at the end of this week, we will be reopening Wabash to traffic between Washington and Madison after 24 months of closure. And the station will be open for customers in early summer. And with this station almost on the books at Washington and Wabash, we're excited to turn to the design and construction of a completely new infill station on the CTA Green Line at Damon. It's an honor to build this new station for the CTA and its customers. The station will fill a 1.5-mile gap between existing Green Line stations at California and Ashland and will serve the United Center, the Kinsey Industrial Corridor, and Near West Side residents that for too long have been passed up by the direct economic benefits a transit station can bring to the community. This station is a priority for the mayor, and it will be the third new CTA station during his tenure. We're kicking off the design process now and expect to begin construction next year. Our work supporting CTA doesn't just involve L stations, though. We are coordinating with CTA to improve the speed and reliability of the critical bus service in the city. Through innovative projects like the Jeffrey Jump on the south side or the Loop Link downtown, as well as through new investments in our traffic signal infrastructure. Last year, on 9 miles of South Ashland Avenue, CTA, together with CDOT and OEMC, began operating transit signal priority, where late buses get a longer green to help them get back on schedule. This year, we will be rolling out this technology on Western Avenue from Howard all the way to 79th Street, and I envision a day when this is standard across the whole city. And speaking of improving traffic, the Damon-Elston-Fullerton intersection reconstruction project will be completed this summer. We marked a major milestone in December with the opening of all lanes on the newly realigned section of Elston. The new design creates separate intersections for both Fullerton and Elston, as well as Damon and Elston. And it also includes protected bike lanes on Elston to separate bikes from general traffic. The new traffic pattern is already relieving congestion and improving safety at one of the city's historically most crash-prone intersections. We look forward to finishing the signal, lighting, and remaining curb and sidewalk work this spring, and work picks up again next week. We've also made great progress in the last year on the project at Belmont Western and Clybourne, which will be complete this summer as well. Last year, we demolished the Western Avenue Viaduct over Belmont, local resident right there. When I was here last year, we had just finished the demolition, and we can see these beautiful pictures up there. It's a reminder of what's possible when we put our minds to it. And that came down in a really expedited fashion. And you can see already the removal of the viaduct has changed the feel of the neighborhood completely for the better, totally opening up that corridor. There on the lower left is a view of what used to be the overpass there right at the intersection with Clybourne. When it's complete, Western Avenue will have 3 lanes of traffic in each direction during the rush, and the curbside lane will be used in some places for parking during non-rush hours. We'll also have modern interconnected signals along Western to help ensure smooth traffic flow, and pedestrians will enjoy a host of safety improvements, including pedestrian refuge islands, some bump outs, high visibility crosswalks, wider sidewalks, and the addition of pedestrian countdown signals at all of the intersections with signals. The project will provide new lighting and landscape medians along much of the corridor. And we look forward to the transformative power of this project to revitalize the area that once languished in the shadows and will create more opportunities for development. Back on the south side, another important reconstruction project on the near south side is the Wells-Wentworth Connector, the project to literally create another north-south connection between the loop and downtown from Roosevelt to Cermak. Construction of Phase 1 from 17th to 19th Streets in the middle of the project area is substantially complete and has created a better entrance to Ping Tom Park and improved safety for pedestrians. Demolition is also complete for the land needed to begin Phase 2, the realignment of the offset intersection at Wentworth and Cermak, which will start this year. And all across the city, we are investing in streetscape projects that are sprucing up neighborhoods, making our streets safer for pedestrians, people riding bikes, and motorists, while laying the foundation for continued local economic growth. Under the mayor's leadership, we have completed 38 streetscape projects, Last year, we finished work on Blue Island and 111th, to name a few. And this spring, we'll complete work on Cottage Grove, 23rd Street, Fullerton. We've begun work on Fulton Market, Morgan Street, and Bridgeport, and the final two sections of the Devon streetscape. We'll also be starting this year on a project to improve the area around Broadway and Lawrence, creating new public plazas. And we're finishing designs on a new Motor Row streetscape on Michigan, south of Cermak. We're also rebuilding major arterial streets that serve as the backbone for neighborhoods and our critical transportation corridors. Last year, we completed the reconstruction of Oak Park Avenue through Reed Dunning. This year, we are launching the next phases of several multi-phase master plan projects, including reconstruction of Grand from Pulaski to Chicago, Lake Street from Damon to Ashland, and Milwaukee from Addison to Belmont. And we will also be beginning designs for Milwaukee from Belmont to Logan, which includes the anticipated redesign of the Logan Square traffic circle. These arterial street projects improve the entire right-of-way with new sidewalks, lighting, traffic signals, paving, and better drainage, and in some cases, increasing vertical clearances under viaducts, as all part of a safer, more modern design. On the far north side, we are making progress on a major infrastructure project that doesn't involve moving people. Instead, it's about moving water and preventing flooding, the Albany Park Stormwater Diversion Tunnel. We recently completed excavation of the outlet shaft at the east end by the North Shore Channel, and just last week, we started working at the inlet shaft on the west end of the project. Very soon, we will start boring the tunnel that, when complete, will stretch for more than a mile all the way under Foster Avenue. And you can see some of the components for the tunnel boring machine, or the TBM, for those of you in the know. The tunnel is scheduled for completion in 2018 and will have the capacity to divert 2,300 cubic feet of water per second, preventing the type of flooding that has devastated this neighborhood too many times in recent years. So, all these projects I've been talking about have mostly been funded through a combination of sources. City, other local sources, state, federal funds, and they all use a variety of different funding streams from each of those sources. These funding partnerships reflect the fact that each party recognizes the value of transportation investments. But we are very concerned about the changing landscape that is creating uncertainty about the very partnerships that have made Chicago the transportation success story that it is. This is threatening our momentum. At the federal level, there's a lot of talk about infrastructure, but no helpful action so far. Instead, the president's proposed budget threatens to eliminate funding for new transit projects, which we all know will cut jobs, make commutes longer, and decrease service. His cutting of the Tiger program takes away an important opportunity to build creative, multimodal projects of regional significance. Further, talk of new financing programs and incentivizing private sector investments abounds. But as the mayor has said, and he knows a thing or two about how to get things done in Washington, any plan for investing in infrastructure that does not also include dedicated funding is fairy dust. And at the state level, we've been without an operating budget for almost 2 years, and there's no capital bill or new revenue program in sight. Now, increasingly, important infrastructure projects are getting caught up in this political stalemate. For decades, the city and state have worked in partnership to pair state road funds with the city's federal transportation funding, recognizing the importance of Chicago as the transportation hub and economic engine for the region and the state. A disproportionately high number of regional residents, tourists, and businesses rely on the city's roads and bridges each day, about a third of which are owned by the state. CDOT and IDOT work closely together on the development and implementation of hundreds of millions of federal aid projects, of millions of dollars of federal aid projects each year. And I know everyone in this room can appreciate that building projects like the ones I've highlighted here today take many years of planning, design, and construction. Unfortunately, the state has started holding back final funding approvals necessary for many projects like this, even though the funding is already appropriated and CDOT and IDOT had been planning to use those very dollars for these projects. The governor's action has the potential to slam the brakes on hundreds of millions of dollars in capital investment, effectively making these projects hostages in a political fight. and threatening to do lasting damage to the safety of our transportation system and the health of our economy. This puts at risk the great majority of CDOT's planned investments in roads and bridges in design or about to get underway in the 2017 construction season, and in some cases, even projects currently in construction that require additional funds. For example, it jeopardizes 41 miles of arterial resurfacing projects, new traffic signal investments, as well as bridge projects like the Navy Pier flyover in completion of phases 2 and 3, which includes critical repairs also to the Lakeshore Drive Bridge over the Chicago River and is otherwise scheduled to be complete by the end of 2018. This will improve safety for the thousands of pedestrians, bicyclists, and motorists who use that bridge each day. The new Riverview Bridge at Addison is threatened. It will create an underbridge under the Addison Bridge along the North Branch of the Chicago River, linking California and Clark Parks. We also want to start reconstruction of the Irving Park Bridge over the Chicago River just to the north to create a new underbridge connector there, as well as make repairs to the bridge. And the new underbridge connection will improve safety by giving bikes and pedestrians a safe crossing. But we likely cannot move forward until this situation is resolved. And the list goes on. 43rd Street Pedestrian Bridge in Bronzeville, I mentioned earlier, reconstruction of the Harrison Viaduct near the old post office, design for the critical Canal Street Viaduct in the important Union Station area, design for a grade separation at 95th and Eggleston, a federal walk-to-transit safety program to improve crossings, curbs, and sidewalks for people getting to and from the train. These are just some of the examples. If we can't get the state and local partnerships back on track, I fear we will not be able to do the heavy lifting required to secure federal support to get much more complex projects off the ground, such as the implementation of the Chicago Union Station Master Redevelopment, more of the CREATE program, including the $1 billion 75th Street Corridor Improvement Program, creating a continuous river trail along the Chicago River, and the anticipated reconstruction of North Lakeshore Drive in the coming years. We've got work to do. The U.S. is the wealthiest nation in the world, but we won't retain this status unless we work together and marshal the resources to make the kind of far-sighted investments that we have made throughout our history. I urge all of you to use your voices to push for sensible solutions that will keep our city planning, building, and investing in our future. Now, before I finish, I want to talk about something that is critically important to me, to Mayor Emanuel, and I believe everyone in this room. On this, too, I need all of you to use not only your voices, but also your actions to push for change. All the projects I've highlighted today contribute to our mission to provide Chicagoans a modern transportation system that gives people real options and enhances mobility for all. Fundamental to that promise is ensuring the safety of our streets. Put simply, no one should die on our roads. Roads are for getting to work, to school, to family. They are not for dying. Safety must underlie everything we do. But the sad fact is that despite the efforts we have made, death and injuries have remained a persistent plague on our transportation system and present a true public health crisis. We've been numbed to think that it is inevitable or normal or somehow otherwise acceptable, but it shouldn't be. Despite historic trends downward, there are still 40,000 fatalities from traffic crashes each year nationwide. And that number has been increasing in recent years, especially for pedestrians. Think about this. Every 3 days, someone dies in Chicago in a traffic crash. Each year, about 2,000 people are killed or seriously injured in a traffic crash on our streets in Chicago. That's 2,000 families who hear the horrible news that their loved one is hospitalized, could have a life-altering injury, or will never come home. 5 people are seriously injured in crashes in Chicago every day. This could be someone in your own family, your friends, your employees. Think about it. How many of you have been affected already? Have you or a loved one, a friend, or a work colleague been injured by a traffic crash as a pedestrian, riding a bike, riding in a car, or a bus? In the news, we hear too often the devastation this brings. Just last week, A 5-year-old boy was killed crossing the street. He was in the crosswalk with the light. A turning vehicle didn't yield the right of way, as the law requires. And while we are especially shocked by the death of children, it's happening out there every week to people of all ages, all across our city. This is unacceptable to me, and it is unacceptable to the mayor, and it should be unacceptable to everyone in this room. One traffic death is unacceptable. Every death is unacceptable. These severe crashes are not accidents, and I challenge all of you to change your lingo. Just like you don't use some of the phrasing that you used, I won't repeat it, but with every generation, we are more conscious of the phrasing we use and where it comes from. Think about what your words mean and make a conscious choice to talk about traffic crashes and not accidents. These are preventable incidents, and the tools exist to stop these senseless tragedies. And that is why I'm very proud to say that Chicago has joined the global Vision Zero movement and will soon be launching a Vision Zero action plan for the city. The city's effort includes at least a dozen city departments and agencies working together to create real change in how we design and use our streets based on a collaborative, data-driven process. I invite you all to be part of this effort. The only goal we should be aiming to achieve is zero. Zero deaths and zero traffic injuries. We all have the right to walk, bike, take transit, and drive on the streets that are safe for everyone, regardless of who we are and where we live. Vision Zero is not just a city initiative, but a partnership between the city and the public. So everyone in this room can play a part, a real part, not just lip service. I am eager to have you all join us in this effort. It goes without saying, think about your personal actions. When you drive, put your phone down. Don't speed. Did you stop for that pedestrian trying to cross the unsignalized intersection when you were driving around this weekend? They have the right of way. When is the last time you actually checked your speedometer when you were driving, hurrying to get home or to that appointment? All these questions are the obvious part. Even if we all, yes, we all, including myself, need a reminder. Let's talk about this at the professional level, because it's a rare opportunity that I have this audience, and I'm asking all of you today to think about how you can step up your efforts in your professional position to help us achieve our goal. What about your line of work gives you a particular opportunity to contribute and collaborate on this? If your job or business involves driving, double check whether your safety efforts or your vehicles could be improved. If you work in software, are there technologies that could save lives? Are you in marketing? What messages will lead to safer behavior? Maybe you work in a social service. How are the communities you serve impacted by traffic crashes? And how can you help build awareness? If your company has a corporate social responsibility effort or provides sponsorships, how could you support this effort? These are just a few ideas to spur your thoughts. Very soon, the city will release its Vision Zero action plan. The action plan uses data to identify the city's greatest opportunities to create change on our streets and identifies the city resources that we can commit to increase safety. The release of the action plan is just our starting point for moving the needle on traffic crashes and creating real change by 2020. You'll be hearing much more about this. I urge everyone here to get involved and do your part to make Chicago a safer city. We have the potential, and by working together, we can make real change and save real lives. So with that, I thank you all for lending your ears today, and let's now use our voices and our actions to address all of these important challenges that we face together. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner Sheinfeld. And we have time for a few questions. Governor Ivey, thank you. Anyone else who has questions you'd like to ask? There's some blue forms at your table. Fill them out. Send the questions up. We'll try to handle as many as we can. First question from John O'Neill. What do you see as the most viable source of long-term Transportation funding.
Thank you. Well, I would challenge the premise of the question because I think one problem we have is over-reliance on single sources. We need a diversity of sources. We can't just be saying, how do we change the gas tax? How much should we should increase it by? That's a very important question. We should be pegging our different taxation structures to grow over time in terms of the rate and increase with inflation. But we also need to be diversifying our sources so that we're not overly dependent on one source and then succumb to the different cyclical limitations of such a source when we have changes in the broader economy. So I would suggest it should be a mixture of different revenue sources at the local, federal, and state level, building on the gas tax and building on other service taxes, for example.
Thank you, Commissioner. Oh, I see your dad is taking notes on that. He's probably going to give you a quiz later. Very good, Mr. Sheinfeld. This is from Adam Heckman, who's with Microsoft Chicago. Adam, where are you? Oh, right here. Great. What work does CDOT need to do in order to prepare for autonomous vehicles? Then he gives you a P.S. We'll contribute our talent to Vision Zero.
Thank you. Autonomous vehicles are really exciting, and I'm especially excited about the promise to improve safety and to reduce user error. So let's think about that in the positive. But it has to be done right, and CDOT is only one part of the picture when you look at the city and the region in terms of government's role. We are working with our counterparts in city government. This is a question of licensing as well and different businesses. It's a question of thinking about how we build our roads, making sure that we have the necessary investments to achieve a state of good repair. And we also have to think carefully about how do we use this smartly so it doesn't just increase congestion, but in fact complements our existing mass transit service. Because no matter how many little pods are out there, at the rush, you're still going to have to move hundreds of thousands of people at the same time. So this is not a replacement for transit.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner. My president slipped me a note, and we want to recognize John Yonan, who's the Director of Capital Projects for Cook County. John, thank you for joining us. The next question is from City Club member and transportation maven Jack Lavin. What is CDOT doing to promote veteran-owned business?
CDOT, as one of the city's departments, is embracing the various initiatives that the Department of Procurement Services is developing. And we mean that when I talked earlier in the speech about ensuring that our workforce, both professional services and construction services, really embraces the diversity of our residents and local businesses. And veterans businesses are part of that spectrum of programs that we are looking at continuing to support and grow.
Okay, this is from Ashvin Ladd over here, and he wants to know if the Vision Zero program will include more yield to pedestrian signs in crosswalks.
That's been a really successful effort in terms of bringing awareness to drivers of the state law, that is the law at every intersection, that drivers must yield to pedestrians. That means stopping all the way, not just slowing down and grazing them. And those have been a great program, and we're continuing to do that, mostly with the support of our aldermen who use their menu funds for that. We also include that signage in a lot of our larger reconstruction programs. And I'll say for those of you who see them knocked down, and we do have to replace them quite often, remember, that's why they're there. It's a testament to the continuing need that they be there because people need to be more careful where they're driving.
Okay, we have one final question, and that relates to the relatively mild winter season we've had. You know, the Cubs open up next Sunday night against St. Louis. And that is, how much did the city save this year in terms of pothole repair, salt distribution, et cetera?
Tough question.
Well, I'll say don't count your chickens yet, and I think my colleagues in budget and streets and sanitation wouldn't want me to jinx them. Unfortunately, we work on a calendar year, and so there's plenty of winter by the end of 2017. So we're not moving money around yet. But I will say that we've all been lucky that this winter was a lot more mild than in past years. I started this job in the polar vortex of 2014. I think I was doing a pothole press conference like every 2 weeks or something like that. And it was a nice change not to have to do that this winter. At the same time, there's still always an issue just because of the way the freeze-thaw works. And the March snowstorm was a reminder that there's still, issues throughout the winter. The hardworking men and women of CDOT are still out there 7 days a week fixing potholes all winter, and I was pleased to say that we're starting to transition our laborers who work on asphalt projects over to get geared up for the paving season. Asphalt plants open mid-April, and we're going to be out there kicking and paving as quickly as possible so we can continue to improve all of our roadways.
Thank you. Let's give our Commissioner Sheinfeld a round of applause.